Welcome to Everyday Drinkers, episode number 29. This week we're doing whiskey, bourbon, Irish whiskey, and everything that's not scotch.
We ask you to respect the laws, drink responsibly. I'm your host, Derek Schomer. We have with me today Dave, Kate, and Luke, and myself, obviously, because I'm talking. Our dedicated drinking buddies. We're all here to have a good time trying some whiskey. And this would be, what, the second episode where Dave's taking one for the team, right? You're not big into whiskey.
No, I'm scared of whiskey.
So why are you scared of it?
It's another one of those sick drinks. I apparently am just a big wuss and can't handle any hard liquor, so.
So you're more like Luke.
Yeah.
Well, Luke can handle it. He just doesn't. It's like, you know, my daughter, when you want to have her try new food, and she just looks at it and goes, I don't like it. Like, you didn't try it yet. I don't like it. What, you don't even know what it is. I don't like it. But, you know, Luke just doesn't. I mean, Luke, you haven't had anything. You've had whiskey, though.
Yeah.
How did you get into whiskey? Because you're an Appletini type of guy.
Well, kind of, yeah. But a friend of mine is huge into Jameson, and he just keeps talking about it. And then one week at work, over lunch, I went out to just grab a bite. And then he's like, hey, do you want to get a shot of Jameson? I'm like, okay. Sure. So I did, and I liked it. So,
and a new whiskey drinker was born. An angel got their wings at that moment in time.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not really sure that that analogy works because it's alcohol, and that's probably derogatory somehow, but still, it's good that you got on board with the whiskey.
Now, is this something you sip at all, Luke, or is it just a shot kind of thing?
Oh, I'll sip it too. I, in fact, have a mixture of Jameson and Dr. Pepper in front of me, which is interesting.
See, Dave, there's one thing. You don't shoot whiskey, because then that now it's like desperation, like you've had, you just want to disappear from the world for a little while.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that from time to time.
Yeah, but the difference is one of them, if you sip whiskey, you're a connoisseur. If you shoot whiskey, then you're a drunk. I mean, is that not how it should be? Am I interpreting this wrong?
I think that's pretty concise.
Yeah.
Yep.
And there's some days, you know, when I do one, and there's some days when I do the other, but, you know.
Or is there a day, though, Kate, where you'll shoot one and then you'll sip the second one?
Yes, there is, in fact.
To kind of get you warmed up.
The other day, yeah, I needed to take the edge off quickly, so I did a quick shot. And then, speaking of mixing it with something disgusting like Dr. Pepper, I mixed it with Mountain Dew, because that was all I had in the house.
Why would you do that?
No, wow. It's gross.
Even I wouldn't think to do that.
Yeah, the only reason I did it, well, it was twofold. One, I was really tired, but I didn't want to go to sleep yet. And two, had those little half, you know those half cans of soda you can get?
Oh, I got a bunch of those.
Size like for kids,
yeah.
So I had those, and I was like, "Oh, this will be perfect for a shot."
Oh, you call them for kids? I call them for cocktails.
A lot like antifreeze might.
Yeah, it was. It looked like it antifreeze. It tasted just not right at all. I wouldn't recommend it at all. It was desperation.
When have you
are
tasted?
Are we talking the antifreeze mixed drink or the antifreeze that you put in your car?
I was thinking the car one. Yeah.
There you go. Okay,
that
then
makes sense. The leaves, brain crystals, and all. Yeah.
When was the last time you had antifreeze from your car in a shot glass, Dave?
They told me to cut back on it. Apparently, it's not so good for you.
I thought you were gonna say they told me to cut it with water to get down the proof. My bad. That was just kind of where I was going. You know, I mean that.
So I think what we're saying is this is a pretty versatile alcohol when it comes to getting you fucked up. So
yeah. Well, yeah, you know what though? It doesn't do anything more than vodka. They're all 40%, right?
Yeah.
I mean, most of the ones I have, you can get them higher, but you can get everything higher. But like overproof rum, as Dave has experience with. Hey, you know what I just got this week? I got 100 proof tequila.
Nice.
Really? Yeah, 1800 silver. It's pretty. I've just took a sip of it and I like almost lit on fire my brain. So I haven't really done more than that yet. But yeah, they have that. So, but I guess it's versatile. But the thing is, it's versatile because it has flavor. Where vodka is obviously versatile, you just hide it in anything. It's kind of like Waldo, right? Well, this is more, this kind of stands out more like, I guess, a scotch would, but everyone seems to be a little different, which means everybody can like their own brand, or you could like all the brands, and I happen to have a couple, but I guess that kind of leads us right into the brand thing. What are you rolling with? You just have the Jameson, Luke?
Yes.
Okay, so you're working Jameson and ginger ale.
No, Jameson and Dr. Pepper, and I also have just Jameson on the rocks sitting here waiting.
Okay, so I also had somebody last week at 4th of July who had Crown Royal and ginger ale. Anybody ever do that?
Don't think so.
Yeah, I'd never done that either, but that was all he drank. Like, he had a handle of it. Not all at once, but he brought one with him when he came over. That's,
you know, my old manager used to drink, like, whiskey and ginger ale, and we went to this dive bar in San Jose, and they didn't have any whiskey or something. No, they didn't have any ginger ale. And the bartender was this like big bikey looking dude. And he's like, hey, don't worry. I'll make you something that tastes just like it. And he made this concoction up that had like Goldschlager and Jaeger and some other shit in it. And it was almost bubbling. It was so vile. And my boss drank that whole thing. So he earned my respect.
Is this just like ginger ale? Any ginger in it? No. Okay.
No, he had to pretty much carry him back to the hotel, but it was all good.
It actually had radiator fluid in it. So what I wanted to do is I figured just in case people only had one or two different brands, I figured I'd get as many as I could. So I mean I went to my little bar over here because I've done reviews for all these, I think. Yep. And so once I usually do a review for one, I get other people asking me for other ones. So they just start sending them. So what I have is I get Canadian Club. It's a 10-year-old whiskey, Canadian whiskey, apparently. Canadian Club, go figure. I've got Classic 12, a Canadian Club, which is 12-year-old whiskey. I have Michael Collins Irish whiskey. So we got Ireland representing. That's a single malt. And I have Michael Collins Irish whiskey, a blended whiskey, again, representing from Ireland. I break New Jersey in the house because we've got Brave Spirits First In whiskey, which is, I believe, it's a bourbon, but it's blended with other stuff. I don't know if you call it a bourbon anymore.
Yeah, when I think of Jersey, I think of fields of wheat and rye and stuff.
Yeah, I think it's clean blended water there. I don't think they grow it there or even distill. Well, they might distill it. I think they bring the ingredients elsewhere in the United States. Which is the other?
Have a half life on it or anything?
No half life. it is 100% U.S. though. Yeah, Scobieville, New Jersey. So that's where it's at least bottled. Maybe it's not made there. Straight whiskey in this blend, where aged for a minimum of 4 years, 72.5% grain neutral spirits. So they give you enough information on it that it's like, you know, awesome. Made by David Fox, which doesn't really tell you much. It's actually the owner of Brave Spirits, one of them. And then I have Buffalo Trace Kentucky Straight Bourbon. Now we're going right to Kentucky for this one, bourbon country. And this is really, I've had all these, and this is probably the most impressive looking label and bottle and taste. So I'm looking forward to that one. I haven't had them all together though, so that's kind of different. Like I've done the Canadian Club side by side, and I've done them, I think that's it, just the Canadian Clubs. I haven't done the rest side by side, so that's going to add some interest to it. And Dave, what are you bringing to the table?
I picked up some Maker's Mark.
A full bottle, huh?
Yeah, and basically, for whatever reason, the liquor store that I usually go to was completely out of whiskey nips. I don't know if somebody's on a bender tonight or what, but...
Sorry, my bad. Well, you know what it is? They probably haven't got restocked from the 4th of July.
Yeah, that might be it, yeah.
Because I don't know why. Like, raise your hand if you went to a 4th of July party and you brought a handful of nips with you. Because I don't know anybody who does that. But maybe in preparation.
That watching the fireworks is probably a little bit better when you're drunk off your ass. But.
Right, but I'd bring a whole bottle. Hmm. I mean, it's not all that expensive, I don't think. I actually don't know the cost of any of mine, if that's a problem.
Yeah, I have no idea. It was very weird. But anyway, so yes, I have a full bottle of Maker's Mark.
And a full bottle. And Kate, you're rolling with?
I've got Jameson, I've got Bushmills, and I've got Wild Turkey.
The Wild Turkey in the house. We've been hearing about Wild Turkey for years. And it's about time that we set it down and polish it off.
I have almost a full bottle, so I really don't think that's going
to
happen.
I expect that to be gone by the end of this.
Well, it's only 80 proof, so maybe.
Oh, that's it?
I don't get the 100 proof anymore.
Anymore? Like, you don't get it because you can't remember buying it, or because you, like, 100 proof is pretty rough.
I know. I thought I should be a little more conservative.
But you know what's funny? Is it's not 40%, or let's say 80 proof and 100 proof, there's not a lot of proofage there that really makes
that's
it.
True.
I don't understand why. It is that it's like 80 proof. Okay, I could do this and I get a mild buzz on and I know when I can stop. But when you get to 100, it's like you lose that judgment level because you're like, oh, I can have one of these. And then you have another one and it's too late. Now you can't remember.
That's exactly why I went with 80 proof. Not because I was, you know, having memory lapses or anything, but because I kind of felt like I prefer to sip it and, you know, not just get trashed, right, like real quick. So I figured, well, I may as well get 80 proof. It'll last me a little longer before I blotto.
Because that's maybe it's an age thing. Like as you get older, you start to actually appreciate the alcohol rather than, hey, how fast can I go from zero to unconscious? Oh, that was awesome. I did it in 10 minutes.
I think there's also something we said when you can end a story with, and then I woke up at home.
Somebody,
without my car.
And somebody painted balls on my face. You know, there's certain things that you just, and then you go out and you find out somebody put you on YouTube. There's so
did
many
bad things.
You not
get the Sharpie off your face yet?
No. It's like, no, every time you wash it, it doesn't come off. But no, I think that's the other problem with 100 proof is you don't, I can't, I tried that tequila. I can't sip 100 proof. It just doesn't, it tastes like fire on your tongue, and then it just evaporates, and you feel like you should be getting drunk. So there's a whiskey, there's a bourbon, and there's an Irish whiskey. And like we said last time, you could drop the E if you're doing scotch. And I even Canadian, I didn't know this, but the Canadian whiskey, you don't use the E. Who knew? And I should, because I've got freaking four bottles, right? But whatever. Hey, I have Crown Royal. I could have brought that. I don't know where I put that either.
Crown Royal comes in the nice velvet bag, so you know it's class.
I know. Yeah. It's totally class. Shit, where the hell did that go?
Oh, wait, Crown Royal is whiskey?
Yeah, it's Canadian whiskey.
Really? I didn't know that.
You do now. See, you learn something on this show.
I learn something every single time I edit an episode, actually.
See? There you go. First, bourbon. It was, I think, May 4th, 1964, and United States Congress recognized bourbon whiskey as a distinctive product of the United States. This is our tequila, people. This is where it all comes to play. This is us. This is our American heritage. This is like the hamburger or the hot dog. I don't know if we made either of those.
It's based on hamburgers, hot dogs, and bourbon.
Yes. Yes. It's made primarily from corn and is named after Bourbon County, Kentucky. Whiskey has been produced since the 18th century and is a distinction of bourbon that it has some criteria, just like tequila. And what was the criteria of vodka? It has to be made 40% alcohol and like have all these different things to it. Well,
GST in the still, all that, you know.
Right. And this, we have the same thing, very similar to tequila. You have to have 51% corn or more. And just like tequila, you have to have 51% agave. We all like 100%, but you know what? Not everybody cares. Distilled no more than 80% alcohol by volume, that's 160 proof. It must also be less than 125 proof when barreled. I don't know why, but that's just the rule. It has to be aged new charred oak barrels. That's important. May also be called straight if it's been aged for at least 2 years. If it's aged less than 4 years, the duration must be on the bottle. If aged is stated, it must state the youngest bourbon in the bottle. That's a trick. They don't need to do that. You know that with rum, you don't need to put the youngest one on the bottle, because for some reason we all are like, oh, rum can do any laws it wants. So you can have like an 8-year-old
rum is gangsta. Rum can do its thing.
Exactly. Like I have a Bacardi 8, right? It's supposed to be 8 years, but their youngest Bacardi in there might be 2. It might only have like a small 8-year rum in there, and that's cool. They can advertise it how they want. So I think this is a little better. Maybe because it's made in the States, we like to keep it honest. We don't roll on the islands. The typically it's a grain mixture for bourbon, so it's about 70% corn, with the remainder being wheat and or rye, malted barley. The mixture is called a mash. It's fermented through a process called sour mash fermentation, in which the mash from previously distilled distillations is added to ensure consistent pH across the batches. You want it to be the same. You don't want, it's not like a wine where every time you buy your wild turkey, it tastes completely different, right? I want it to taste like a authentic wild turkey.
I love sourdough.
Yeah, well, I mean, when they make sourdough bread, they take a bit of the dough from the past batch and put it into the newer batch so that it has a similar yeast property.
What?
Yeah, no shit.
Wait a minute. Let's roll back for a second. This is now, I understand we're on a drinking show, but why the fuck do you know anything about sourdough?
I don't know, man. I just learn stuff every once in a while, and I try to get it out of me before it goes away.
Were you a street vendor?
Hey, I don't like to talk about my past.
Do you sell sausages at Home Depot?
In a sense, yes.
All right.
Not in the traditional sense, but in a sense, yes.
Like, you're not talking about your penis now, are you?
I don't want to talk about this anymore.
All right, cool.
That's unusual.
That is, it is quite unusual, actually. Wow. I don't actually want to talk about
this on a Friday for a change, so, you know.
Yeah, you don't want to talk. Nobody wants to talk about their penis on Friday.
You're not supposed to talk about meat on Friday. Isn't that the Catholic thing?
No. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know.
Just a reminder.
I'm thinking it's taste, though, not like talking about it. You're not
supposed to.
Yeah. But, you know, we don't really have to get you down into the religion. We'll keep you with the sourdough where you belong. So this is similar to sourdough in the way it's made. Bourbon, while it's young, is clear but becomes darker as it ages in the barrels. Thus, the darker the bourbon, the older it tends to be. The end product is then cut with water to get its 40% alcohol by volume or 80 proof, which they do with vodka. I mean, they all probably do that. They got to cut it with something. You don't want to cut it with more alcohol because that's dumb, right? It's not cutting, it's adding. There's also variants on the proofings like 86, 100 in cases condition. I don't know if that's a condition or a case or whatever, where you were once into the hundreds and now you're not. There's also barrel proof, which is basically straight out of the barrel, whatever the hell the alcohol is. It's just, here you go. Which seems a little obnoxious.
Hope you don't go blind.
Yeah, I know. And it's also, bourbon does not have to be produced in bourbon country or bourbon county. It can be anywhere, distilled anywhere in the United States, such as New Jersey, say Brave Spirits, Colorado, Kansas, Tennessee, New York, etc., etc. You want your own New York bourbon? Shit, you go for it, homie. You can do it. I don't see a problem with that. There's also a Kentucky Bourbon Trail, and it's a tourism thing, I guess. Have you ever been to that? The Bourbon Trail?
Nope.
No. Oh, I think it would be kind of cool.
Kentucky, now that I think about it.
Okay. I was in Kentucky, I think, once. Don't they have an airport that's kind of shared in Kentucky?
Yeah, you might be right. I don't know.
But that's
tend to block out bad memories.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that time you got gang raped in the bathroom at the Kentucky airport.
Well, I'm not listening.
But it has some well-known distilleries. It's got Buffalo Trace, which is what I have. Four Roses, Heaven Hill, Jim Beam. No Jim Beam here, huh? Wow. Maker's Mark. Bang, we got that. Tom Moore, Wild Turkey, represent, and Woodford Reserve. So out of all those, I think we're on the trail, folks. We are walking the virtual tourist trail. We've got everything we need, and we stopped in Canada on the way. So I'm going to – who wants to go first? Okay, we have no volunteers. What I will do is I'm going to tell you about my Canadians, both of them. You know why? Because I'm just that damn good. Dave, now you don't like whiskey because of what it does to you or because you just don't like the taste?
I think it's a little bit of both, actually. The taste is, I don't know. We'll give it a shot again tonight. It's been a really long time since I've had whiskey for real.
See, I'm starting to appreciate it. I'm going to try the 10-year-old stuff's pretty good. It's kind of, you know what it is? The Canadian Club, people, when I mentioned Canadian Club to, here's the problem, is a lot of people I talk to don't know really anything about alcohol. So, but what you do gain a sense is what they perceive to be how it is. And I think that's the way it is with Canadian Club. Like, people are like, oh, that stuff's rough. I don't know what they're drinking, but it's not rough. It's not like bad. So I think either they had one of those bad experiences or maybe they're mixing it up with Seagram 7. I don't know. Or they did it in college, but they had already done like 18 shots of tequila first. First off, the different colors between the Canadian Club 10 and the Canadian Club 12 are not as noticeable. That's two extra years in a barrel, and I can't readily tell the difference. But you can definitely taste the difference. Like the 10-year is kind of sweet. It's got a little like oaky properties to it. But the Canadian Club 12 tastes more like you might have actually stirred the drink with like a 2x4. But in a good way.
That's a manly drink.
Why, dude, heck, saw Jim Duggan in the house. Neither of them are bad. Like, first off, one of the things I get from some bad whiskeys that I've had in my time is when you finish the sip, your mouth lights on fire. And you're like, that's disgusting. Like it, and then you're like, I can't say anything because my friends are going to make fun of me. I just got to drink this. And neither of these do that. Like, they don't.
Wild
See, that's hardcore because you keep coming back for more. Like, you buy it, you bought it before, and then you buy it again.
Well, some people like that, how that feels, and some people don't like how that feels. But
this is true.
I actually like if I didn't like how it feels, I wouldn't drink it just like, you know, to be hardcore. But I like that kick.
So you're a woman, so you wouldn't do something stupid like that, like we would. Like, I don't like this, but I'm going to drink it all the time. Well, I probably wouldn't either, but it may be in front of other people, but I don't like the explosive burning, and I don't know, and I know that a lot of people try and remove that to make it clean and clear, and I guess they call it mature.
Actually, I would agree with that. I think that in general, women are much more intelligent about
most things.
Well, yeah, but like eating and drinking, like if you put something down in front of me that is obviously on fire, I'm going to put it in my mouth.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, just like if there's food in front of me, it's going in my mouth. And I'm going to burn my tongue. It's going to be really bad, but I do it every single time.
Like pizza.
Like pizza.
What is the deal with pizza? I always have to burn the roof of my mouth. It's just part of the ritual.
I have a theory, actually. I think it's because you have to burn out some of the cells in your mouth so that you can taste things better the next time.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you're killing off the weak ones so that the other ones can appreciate it more.
Survival of the fittest.
Huh. That's interesting. I think that in this case, I don't think any of my cells are having a problem. Like, I think that the classic 10 is good. Like, a great... You know what? I think the classic 10 would be good for mixing and sipping, but the 12 is, you know what it is? It's the consistency. Let me try this again. It's the reserve 10 years is a little watery, and the 12 years is more like a 10W40, maybe not necessarily that thick, but you get a thicker, creamier, oakier drink, and I like that. I'm not saying this thing disappears. You don't know you just drank alcohol. There's some lip burning, but it's not an explosive burning. It's just got a nice transition. So both of them, I would probably say the 12-year, this is probably more of a general obvious statement, but I think the 12-year is better for sipping. The 10-year might be good for mixing. But if you have the 10-year and you want to sit down, you could do a shot of it if you want, or just sip it and watch, I don't know, Wipeout or whatever's on TV. I think the 12-year I would probably feel better serving to guests. Kind of give them the little extra whatever they need. You want to look good in front of your guests, right? If you have any, because otherwise you don't have any. They don't come over again. And it's like, I want to make friends that actually like me. So I've got two things: I can either have a really good personality, or I can just serve them something really good.
Better go for the serving something really good.
See, so I looked on my little website mixdrinkypedia.com in case you guys never seen it. It's
note the plug.
Note the plug. Well, yeah. That's my job here. I had the Canadian Club. I've already had the profiles for them written up. And the 12-year-old whiskey is $21.99, and the 10-year is $16.99. Do you guys think that's a big difference for like 2 years? Would you opt to buy a whiskey for $21 or buy the lower one for $17? I don't know.
I mean, that seems fairly reasonable for $7.50 or something, you know?
Yeah. So I just feel like if I was going to do it, I might as well just do the $21.99. And then, because you're getting the same, I mean, you can mix it if you want to. I just think that you might as well spend a little extra. If it was a difference of like $25, then there's like such a broad gap, you'd be like, look, I'm just going to get this cheap stuff this time. Maybe I can save up a little extra money, get this other stuff, and then not drink it as often. But for like $5 extra, I think it's okay to suck it down in equal proportion.
Yeah.
So, Kate, were you volunteering to go before that we didn't hear you?
No.
Oh.
I mean, I will if you want me to, but no, I'm just going to hang out and
just hang
drink
out
a too. Little more before I have to.
Nice.
Hey, Luke has, you have one or, no, let's have Luke. Luke, what is yours? First off, you have it on a rocks and you have it in a drink.
Yes, I decided kind of randomly to mix it with Dr. Pepper, see how well that turned out. And it's not bad, but it's not good. It's just kind of two different flavors that don't really mix at all. And yes, I have it on the rocks.
You don't drink it straight? Neat?
I have consumed it neat. Actually, that's what I usually do is neat. But someone said, hey, you should try it on the rocks because the water apparently helps somehow. So I decided to give that a try tonight. And also,
yeah, that's actually what I was wondering, because the water helps. But the ice also takes away, so you get a little each.
I just had this debate with somebody that I work with.
Really? You sat down talking about water and whiskey?
Yeah, because I was telling him that I keep my Wild Turkey in the freezer.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, you know, we're not in college anymore. And I was like, it really doesn't have anything to do with being in college. But he said that when you drink whiskey, you're supposed to, you know, have the squat glass and put ice in and, you know, pour it over the ice. And I explained to him that it's more... You get more of the flavor of the whiskey if you don't, you know, if you freeze it and then you don't put it over ice, that way the ice cubes don't melt. Because the ice cubes, even if your whiskey is frozen and you put it over ice, the ice cubes are still going to melt within minutes.
Yes.
And if you are truly sipping the drink, you're probably, it's going to get watered down before the end. And I just don't like how that tastes. I'd rather it just be like pure without the watered down. But if it, you know, if you don't like that kick or, you know, the super, you know, rich flavor of the whiskey, then I guess you would put it over ice.
See, the way you do it, the two things I can think of is the way you do it, first off, you're going to preserve a lot of that. However, the water will bring out different, it's not that it dulls the flavor with the water, it brings out different properties in the, and I don't really know the chemistry of why that is, but
that's a good point.
It brings out a different, like you might get more vanilla or a subtle coconut, for instance, that you don't get drinking it straight, but that's just water. When you use ice, now you're chilling it. That's going to give it a completely different dynamic. And what I've noticed is that you'll also get different flavors. And it comes down to, it's like saying, I want my hot dog with mustard or I want my hot dog with ketchup. They're both hot dogs. In the end, you're both going to go, it tastes like hot dog. But there's going to be a different nuance to them. Yeah. And I think with what I get from the ice is I lose a little of the forward like attack right on the tip of the tongue, kind of dissipates a little bit. And I don't, for some reason, and I like that part of it, the aftertaste tends to be very similar. And the ice does bring out different flavors. So I try, whenever I do the reviews, I do them with both. That way I kind of cover everything. I can say, look, if you're doing it on ice, this is what you're going to get. Because I see it as two separate drinks.
Yeah.
You're going to get different flavors. And in the end, it's like, which one do I like better? That's what I'm going to drink. And I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, well, I keep it in the freezer and I don't think that makes anybody a college student or whatnot. I think it makes somebody like whiskey in the freezer.
Away from the Mountain Dew, right?
Yeah, definitely keep it away from Mountain Dew. I don't know what I was thinking. Honestly, it was just a matter of I wanted a little caffeine going on. But I am going to try it. I haven't tried it yet over ice, but he was pretty adamant about it. So I'll give that a shot at some point.
I think you probably won't like it as much because it's going to it will probably take some stuff. I don't know. Maybe you'll like it more. I guess it's.
I will say, between the Jameson and the Wild Turkey, I'm shocked that I think my next bottle of whiskey is going to be Jameson because it's very, very smooth. I like
so
a lot.
So the Wild Turkey is not very smooth. Well, it must be smoother in the freezer, no?
No, it's just got a kick, but it's part of what I like about it. But I guess I'll have a bottle of each depending on what you're in the mood for.
And then when you put it in the freezer, it also probably comes out with a very thicker texture.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, because I noticed that with vodka. Vodka pours out like sugar-free syrup.
Yep.
Water, but it's something stronger or thicker. And I kind of like that just because it's kind of neat looking and it's a lot easier to pour. But I don't know if there's any other advantage besides you just crystallize a little of that water and you might even bring it up into like some pretty new dimensions of awesome. Okay, Luke, you drink yours. So you've done both. Your ice and your straight, and you're also mixing it with sodas. Have you tried Red Bull?
Red Bull? No.
I don't know. Red Bull and bourbon? Sounds good.
The name. I haven't tried that. Just the typical, was it Red Bull and vodka?
Yeah. No fun. Okay, so what do you like about that specific brand, or is it just you've only had that brand?
I'm pretty sure that I've only had Jameson as far as whiskeys go, but it's possible I've tried something and just forgotten. But I, like Kate said, I like that it's got a nice smoothness to it, but it also has a nice bite that I like. And it's one of those things that's not like, for me, beer, where you drink it and then it just kind of, the aftertaste builds. It's more of a, you drink it, you get that bite, and then it's gone.
How long does it last? The bite,
just a couple seconds at most.
Oh, okay, so not that. Like I can still taste the classic 12. Like just it's got more wood, like oak, but that's a long aftertaste. I haven't had a sip for a little bit, so you're more into the. But you really don't have a. You could find something that's better, and you wouldn't know until you tried it. I guess.
Quite possible, yeah.
But. You know, that's kind of a risk.
I am pretty sure that this is slightly different Jameson than what I'm used to. Because when I was at the store, I saw that they have like Jameson. They have, I don't know, Jameson Black, Jameson aged so long, various levels of cost. But I'm pretty sure that the one that I've had before was the lower end stuff. Because this has a little extra bite than what I'm used to. So it's a little bit different.
Do you like the older one better?
I wouldn't necessarily say I like it better. Overall, it tastes the same. It just has more of a bite to it.
Huh. It should be a little smoother, I would guess. Like, thickness-wise, at least viscosity, it might be a little thicker.
Here, I'll go out to a bar and take a little drink there and come back and let you know.
That would be interesting. But you've been drinking, so you're walking, I'm guessing.
I'll ride my bike.
Oh, that's a smart one.
Yeah.
And it's not heavy machinery if you can pick it up and carry it.
Yeah.
Okay, so you like yours because of, again, so you like the bite.
Yep.
Which is weird because I've always assumed that's the thing that people don't like. But I've after doing enough different cocktail shows, I've done ones where I'm like, oh, look, this is basically pure whiskey and lime, right? And they're like, oh, that's awesome. You're like, okay, but I put it in a cocktail glass and now it's special. I don't care. And then you have other people like, oh, that's way too much alcohol taste. I want something smoother and thinner and all that. So you get these two separate personalities. You get sweet and the sour people, and then you get the people who like the alcohol. Like, I've made drinks where I'm like, nobody's going to like this. And then I get comments like, oh, this drink's awesome. Like, well, it tastes like a bomb just went off in your face. Like, yeah! But they're not doing it just to be stupid college kids either. They're like, no, I like that.
Yeah.
I guess it's me. So, and then Kate, you have the, I'll let you, you want to drink a little more before I have you do yours?
I can go. I have the, you know, the Wild Turkey, which is what I normally drink. And I picked up a nip of Jameson and a nip of Bushmills. So I just have a little, basically one shot of each. I can discount the Bushmills right now. I mean, color-wise, it looks like a Bud Light in terms of the color. It's like a pale yellow. So I kind of knew I probably wasn't going to like it that much. And it's not because I'm, you know, like hardcore whiskey or anything, because like I can't stomach vodka. I don't know how people drink that. But whiskey, I guess I just really like the flavor. So I'm going to go for something that's like a little more full-bodied, or like I said before, has a bit of a bite or a kick to it. So the Bushmills, it's kind of a little bit spicy, a little bit lighter.
It's Irish, right?
Yeah. Actually, I shouldn't say that so quickly. Hold on. Yeah, it's Irish whiskey. Yep.
Yeah, I was Googling for you.
You're right. Thanks. and it's 80 proof. So it's, you know, they're all three of them are the same alcohol content. I just didn't really enjoy. I think, you know what? I think it would be good for mixing.
Yeah.
I say that, but I don't think I've ever had whiskey in a mixed drink. I certainly haven't made a mixed drink on my own with whiskey in it. Maybe I've had one at a bar and not realized it. So I don't really know what you'd put the whiskey in, but if you were to make a mixed drink with whiskey, I think this would be a good one because it's light. It's kind of like your silver tequila versus your gold tequila.
And I guess
that's what it would kind of...
That now a bottle, that's going to cost $19.99, I think, or so.
Yeah. I just got the nip, but I did actually look it up. Hold on. Oh, no, I didn't get that one. Yeah, it's probably on the lower end for cost. The Jameson... I really liked this a lot. This is also an Irish whiskey. And this is something that I would definitely suggest for sipping. I wouldn't suggest for mixing or for shots or anything. This is a great whiskey to sit back and sip. I didn't get any, you know, major bite, any major burning. I thought it was very smooth. But again, this is coming from somebody who's used to drinking Wild Turkey. So it's going to be, I always feel stupid even saying that, but, you know, Jim Beam just sounds so much better, but any kind of whiskey that I'm going to drink is probably going to seem lighter. Cause I think that's got pretty much the most bite that you can get.
Probably. Now, when I looked online, though, I looked on the New Hampshire Liquor Store website, Bushmills 10-year Irish whiskey is $35.99. That seems like a lot. And then...
You know what? There's a bunch of different Bushmills.
Yeah, there's Black Bush, which sounds like weird, but it's oh, wait, there's Old Bushmill. Is that what it is? Or is it... Is it Old Bushmill?
Black Bush.
The one that I got is just Bushmills Original.
I think that's what this is. This is $35.99. There's also Old Bushmill Irish Whiskey. I don't know how you can differentiate them, but the old one is only $18.99.
I just Googled it. I'm on cocktails.about.com, and it says for a 750 milliliter bottle, it's $22.
Yeah.
But the Black Bush is $35, and the Bushmill 1608 is $100. Yeah. So they really have quite a, you know, differential between their brands. But the one I got is definitely the low end Bushmill's Original.
Because you bought a nip, right?
I just got a nip.
Yeah, I don't think they put any of the good stuff in the nips.
Probably not. So, you know, I can't speak to the Black Bush or the...
you got
to
shave that up.
Or the Bushmills 1608, but the Bushmills Original, I wouldn't bother with unless, like, you're going to use it as, you know, a mixer. And, you know, we all know how I feel about Wild Turkey, so I probably don't have to review that. I basically just kind of comparing the two different whiskeys to what I'm used to drinking. And like I said earlier, I will definitely be picking up a bottle of Jameson because it's one of the best sipping whiskeys I've had.
And the Wild Turkey is $15.99. And I don't know what the Jameson, I'm going to guess any of them, you're still looking at, it looks like it's $7.50 is going to be $20. So you might be $5 more. But if you're going to get something that's a better experience, or you know what, it doesn't even have to be better, really. I think it's that if you drink different Wild Turkey all the time, sometimes you just want something that's different but still whiskey.
Yeah, definitely. And a lot more refined on the Jameson. My bottle of Wild Turkey, 750 milliliter, says $21.50. So it's pretty comparable to the Bushmills in price, but for me, the flavor's a ton better. I mean, you can't even compare the two. But again, if you don't like a strong whiskey, you're not going to like Wild Turkey. But I don't think we even need to review Wild Turkey. Everyone's tried it, right?
No, I've never had Wild Turkey.
I don't think I have.
No. Oh.
I guess I've had it either.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Well, because I've always heard Wild Turkey referred to as rot gut. Maybe that's
It's got a lot. Yeah, that's one of many nicknames.
So when I heard that, and this goes back to what I was saying, where if you don't try something, you're basing your opinions off of the rest of the social people you deal with. So when I wouldn't have picked it up because to me rot gut is not appealing. But you know, it might not taste like that. But for those that, you know, just because I might have talked to one person once about it, and that was the impression, for some reason, and this seems to happen to a lot of people, I think, is for some reason you think that person's some connoisseur of this stuff and that their opinion actually matters, when realistically it doesn't. If you don't try it yourself, all you have to go on is one person's opinion, but maybe if you just find some other people and see what they say. There's certain things that are going to be universally accepted, like Jose Cuervo's awful. Okay. Who's going to argue that, right?
I guess if enough people say it. And when the description is that, you know, extreme, you're not going to want to try something that someone describes as rock. But
no.
I mean, for me, it definitely, I tend to kind of try things on my own because, you know, I think everybody does have different things that they like or they look for and, you know, what they find pleasing when they're drinking their alcohol. But Wild Turkey just has a lot of flavor. And like I said, I really like that bite at the end. I like a little bit of the burn going down. It's the same reason that I like, you know, in the wintertime, you know, I like brandy because it's warm going down and that sort of thing. But yeah, definitely, I'm a Jameson convert, though. I'm going to try that. Pick up a bottle of that.
That is why awesome. They make nips. Well, in Luke's case, he became a convert because the same thing. Somebody said, this is pretty good stuff. You tried it, right?
Yeah.
And if you try
and
it
that's
in a bar.
Good that he tried it because, Luke, did you not really feel that you would like whiskey or is it just something that you had never thought to try before?
I think it was something that I never really thought to try before, mostly because I don't know if it's just like the name whiskey or if it's something
oh, no, it totally
I've heard
is a bad
or
rap.
Seen in movies or whatever else, but it just seems like it'd be like this, oh my God, so hardcore drink. And I was like, okay, I don't even like beer, so I'm probably not going to like that.
Right. It's like whenever you see a Western, they sit down and they're like, they're trying to be men, right? And they suck this down and then they get this like face and they wipe their shirt sleeve across their mouth and they're like, yeah. And you're like, that did not seem good. But he's trying to be a badass and that's okay because he's got guns, but I don't need
I'm
to be a badass.
The same way, except minus the guns part, you know, it's like drink a little bit of whiskey and
in an apple
there's
teams.
Definitely that bitterness to it, that bite that just makes me cringe a little bit, but I don't know. For some reason, I just really like
your chest lights on fire.
Not so much beer.
I can totally see that, Luke. I can totally see someone that wasn't a whiskey drinker trying that and really, really liking it. I really can't say enough about it. I'm surprised at how much I like it. But I'm totally not a hardcore drinker at all. But I just like the taste of whiskey.
Yeah. See, the irony is, I don't think any of us are really hardcore drinkers. But I think that's if you're a hardcore drinker, you probably don't have the ambition or care to do a show, right? You just want to go and drink. You're like, why do I want to?
It would seriously cut into your drinking time. Yeah.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah. Too much talking, not enough drinking.
Right. It's like
less talking, more boozing.
And as Dave said, if my house went on fire, it would be like small nukes going off in here.
Dude, it would be like Hiroshima.
Yeah, it would be awesome. Only once. Then I'd have to go ask for all this alcohol again. And find a new place. So there's that. Now, Wild Turkey is... what country does that come from?
Kentucky.
Kentucky, so it's a regular, it's a bourbon. Oh yeah, I do. We just talked about the trail. Okay, so you like the, not necessarily that you don't like bourbon as much as you like the Irish stuff, but that Irish stuff was pretty cool. You thought it was, because I have this Irish stuff here, and I don't know if I have, yeah, I have, oh, I got everything. I've got two from Canada, two from Ireland, and two from the U.S., so I should be able to make an easily deductive call on which is the better contents, right? I think that they all kind of, you know what kind of bumps me out is they all look the same. It's probably because they're all,
they usually do.
They're all around the same age. Nobody has given me a $100 bottle of whiskey, so I'm really working with, everything is probably within 12 years old. I don't think there's anything that's huge in the way.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that, because when I poured out the Jameson and I did, you know, poured out a shot of the Wild Turkey, I had to put them like, you know, remember left is Wild Turkey, right is Jameson, because they look exactly the same color. But the, like I said before, the Bushmills was considerably lighter, so that was easy. But
this is true. And I don't think I have any that are light. I have a nice cloudy one. That's kind of neat. But I'll wait on that one. So the Michael,
what is that one?
That's the Buffalo Trace is like a, it looks like a wheat beer. Seriously. Like the, you know, the cloudiness of a wheat beer. I'm looking at the glass. The glass looks clean, so I'm thinking that's really what it's supposed to look like. I'll do the, since I've got more than everybody else, I'm going to pound two. I've got the Michael Collins Irish Whiskey Single Malt. I don't know what the single malt difference is here. The single malt definitely smells more oaky. So I'm going to try that. I like the single malt has a pleasing scent to it. I like things that are pleasing.
Yeah.
And that can go on.
That's a little too easy for me.
Slam dunk. Yeah, see, this is really smooth. It's kind of, it tastes a little too much like flavor. A lot of oak, like crazy oaky, chocolatey, vanilla-y. I don't know if I can put an E on any more of those words. So it's kind of like, I can almost imagine this floated with a little ice cream in here, like a vanilla ice cream, vanilla bean.
Ew.
What? Ooh.
Ew.
No.
I don't know. I just don't see alcohol and ice cream mixing all that well. And perhaps it's just that I haven't tried the right mix. But
maybe you need some Michael Collins. That's your problem.
So a slight tangent. There's a drink called the Dolph Lundgren. And, oh, God, I need to the mix.
Need to ask you about this Dolph Lundgren stuff. I was so, I was just captivated by that tweet the other day. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, so the Dolph Lundgren drink, I'm looking that up really quick here, is vodka, peach schnapps, brandy, orange juice, pineapple juice, and vanilla ice cream. Sweet. And being an enormous Dolph Lundgren fan as I am, I tried it, and it was probably the worst thing I've ever tasted in my life.
Why?
It's way too sweet.
Oh, the sweet?
Yeah.
I like sweet.
Yeah.
You maybe it's, I think you're just retarded, Luke. Anything? No, look,
it wasn't good.
Ice cream fixes everything. Good. Ice cream.
It did not fix it. It made it.
Even though its namesake was your hero.
You know, I tried so hard to like it because of that, and it just didn't work.
Anyway, my last Michael Collins is a blend alcohol. Here we go.
Ooh.
I think this is okay, but I like the other stuff better. I like the whatever single malt means. Definitely a big fan. The other one's a little light. It's good. It's okay for a blend. And it just kind of got a, it's just boring. You know, it's not as exciting as, it's good. It's just not as exciting as the other one. Had I not had the other one, then it becomes a much easier story to make true because you only have one. If you only have one thing to compare it to, it's always going to be the best, I think.
That's correct, yeah.
With that, I'm going to say definitely if you can get Michael Collins, I'm sure you can. I showed up on my door. I can't remember where you can buy it. But it's good. The single malt's definitely better. I don't know if the price is off the top of my head, but stick with that one. They both look the same, though, color-wise. Not that much difference, but whatever. That's okay. The other thing I want to mention here, we got whiskeys here. The whiskey and whiskey thing. So we've got the two E's and whatnot. Well, where was I going with that? Oh, yeah. So whiskey gains as much as 60% of its flavor from the type of cask that is used in the aging process, which kind of probably gives you an idea of why maybe that Jameson has a different flavor than the Wild Turkey, because they could be, and more than likely are, separate types of barrels. Like the charred new oak barrels that we talked about is a bourbon. That's going to be a little different than the Irish. And so the American whiskeys, there's American whiskey, Scottish, Canadian, Japanese. There's even a Japanese whiskey. Those guys.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. I didn't know that.
And the Japanese, Canadian, and Scottish don't use the E. The American and whatnot and Irish have the EY.
Actually, and one of the last whiskeys I had was in a karaoke bar in Korea.
Really? That's really still not Japanese, though, right?
Hmm?
What was it, a Japanese whiskey?
No, it was Korean.
They have whiskey over there?
Yeah, it was probably brewed in the back of the karaoke bar. It was bad.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Why did I think whiskey had to be made in America? It must be bourbon.
Bourbon, yeah, definitely bourbon.
Okay.
Because the thing is that's kind of confusing is that there's bourbon and there's whiskey, and you're like, well, what the hell's the difference? It's like it's almost like scotch whiskey and bourbon. It's just the name of – it would have been cooler because what we try to do is we try to coolify it, right? We said, look, bourbon because it's from Bourbon County. Who the fuck knows where that is, right?
Well,
he lives out that way.
Oh, okay.
So he's a cheater.
Yeah. Blew my cover.
See, now he's 007. Okay. But if they would have called it like Kentucky whiskey, then everybody like, oh, the state. Yeah, in the U.S. Okay, that makes sense. It's like champagne, okay? People just know champagne is a place in France. But you can't use a county. That's like using a guy's house and saying, oh, yeah, you didn't know that. It's not as cool.
So champagne.
You know, they should have used something. They needed a coolified. They didn't go high enough.
No, they didn't.
And then the Irish whiskeys are also distilled 3 times. Scotch is only distilled 2 times. And by law, Irish whiskey must be produced in Ireland. So there you go with the whole need of having an Irish whiskey. And it has to be in aged wooden casks for a period no less than 3 years, although in practice it's usually 3 or 4 times that period.
So do the casks themselves have to be aged before putting the whiskey into age?
Yes, in certain ones they do.
Ooh.
And I think the scotch has to use bourbon barrels, I believe. Or one of them uses a bourbon barrel. So it's like, I don't know how you can have one without the other, right? Because think about it. They have to be, bourbon has to be charred new oak barrels. So by that definition, what do you do with the old oak barrels? You give them to people to make scotch, tequila, and all these other things. Wine, whatever. So you can reuse the barrels. I've never seen it. They should put them on eBay. That'd be kind of cool. Buy a couple of those, put some water in there, make some distilled water or something.
That would be cool. Hey, I'm sorry. I lost my train of thought.
Nope. Get the giggles.
And I've only had 2 shots, so it's not that at all. Did anyone do Jack Daniels?
Nope.
No.
Oh, we suck. No, someone should have done Jack Daniels.
No, we're awesome.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, actually, now that you mention it, I'm pretty sure I've tried Jack Daniels, and I'm pretty sure I wasn't a big fan.
I am not a big fan of Jack Daniels.
But that was before you developed your appreciation for whiskey via Jameson. You might revisit it and like it.
That's a valid point.
I don't think I would like it, but I will try. Okay. I don't have any, but next time I am given the opportunity, I will definitely do that.
Complete side tangent.
Really?
Yeah.
Derek, did you see my tweet that I tried Blue Moon and I liked it?
Blue Moon beer?
Beer.
You like beer?
Yeah.
Why?
Of the white beer then.
They put a fruit in it?
Yeah. No, it wasn't fruity. It's just the
Blue Moon, there's a fruit.
Yeah, you put the fruit in. You put like an orange slice in or something.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
That
there
probably
was an
threw
orange
you
slice
off.
In it, yeah.
See, that probably threw you off like, ooh, fruit. And then all of a sudden you're like,
it was one of your little fruity drinks.
Yeah,
it's sort of like a beer.
I heard that without some sort of a citrus in it, then it's just not correct.
It's not actually correct, but it tastes
flat.
Yeah, it's sort of like the lime in the Corona. But you know what? I think this is what it is, Luke. It's sort of like if you need to feed medicine to your dog, you wrap it up in a piece of turkey. Or maybe a little bologna.
Turkey?
Bologna, maybe it's a little high.
I've never heard that.
Peanut
butter, yeah, I've heard that.
Okay, peanut butter. You've never put it in turkey? Okay, fine.
No. Who has just turkey laying around at any given point?
I do.
I'm going to wrap a slice of turkey around this.
I always have deli turkey in my refrigerator. Okay. I have kids. Or a bologna, wrapping a little bologna. You ever do that? Maybe that's like what we're doing is we're wrapping fruit inside of a beer, and you're like, oh, this is good. And you're like, oh, you get the fruit, and you're like, hey, there's beer here too. No?
Way to just steal my thunder, Derek.
Well, I mean, why did you like it?
And you're all like, fruit.
He has to bring up the fruit.
I brought up the fruit. It's really not even that much fruit. So what is it about the Blue Moon then? Is it not, there's no bite to it?
No, there's bite to it. There's just not that aftertaste that kind of stays with me. And it's like, this isn't very good.
It was a nice citrusy flavor, maybe. Is it citrusy?
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of citrusy. The citrus is more of a, I don't know, like an undertone, I guess, but mostly it kind of tastes like beer to me. But
you know what the difference is?
Try another like white beer, like a UFO or something at some point. See if you like it.
Because you might have just stumbled upon the path to get into beer. Because once you've found your gateway beer, then you can start to explore other beers.
Yeah.
And you might actually start to like them.
That's what I'm hoping. I'm going to be a man soon.
I found the UFO to be a little heavy. Am I wrong on that?
No, most of the white beers are pretty heavy, actually.
Okay. The other beer that you told me to try, I loved. What was that? Circus Boy. Oh, yeah, my God. That is so good.
Although I'm apparently stroking out because I taste banana in it, which doesn't exist. Yeah. But.
No, I don't taste that at all, but. It was really good.
I don't like anything named Circus Boy. But
that's part of why I liked it so
for a lot of years. So yeah.
I also tried a Dogfish Head.
Yep, that's
I'm not sure which one it was.
There's like four of them.
I didn't like that.
You know, you don't want you're not at the Dogfish Head level.
Yeah,
That I know now. No, it didn't go over very well.
Especially
try Circus Boy.
Yeah, you might like that, or Magic Hat Number 9, or Number 9, you've never
Circus
had number
Boy eight? Is Magic Hat.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Number 9 is not a white beer.
No, but it's a fruity beer, so I figured maybe he'd like that because it's got the...
There's another one called Strawberry Blonde by Pete's.
Oh, man. Oh, don't know. That stuff, that is like Boone's Farm. You put that stuff down, and then the next day, you do not want to have that come back.
Really?
It's candy beer.
It's candy. When it comes back, it's almost like you threw up a chainsaw.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's foul.
What is it like going down, though?
It tastes
like a strawberry Pez.
What? I've never heard. I don't think so.
Really?
No, it is kind of sweet.
Dave, really?
No, it is sweet. It definitely
Trust
is sweet.
Trust me, I am the Pez expert.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't question the Pez.
I'm not going to question the Pez. I'm questioning his taste. No, I think I like strawberry blonde and cherry wheat. Both good on occasion, but Sam Adams Cherry Wheat or Strawberry Blonde. But I bought in college, we would buy that by the case, and that we finished a case off in a night, and it was not good for anybody. It's very just weird. That was the last time I think I've actually had one because it was like that rough of an experience, and I'm just afraid that I'll relapse.
You know what? I think everyone should take their college experiences and leave them in the past and say, you know what, now we don't drink like that anymore.
I think we should do the reverse and take all of our college experiences and put them on a website. Collectively.
Try not to repeat them.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that Doug tried that last time.
Probably.
Kirby Derby. So
bad. You're gonna listen to that episode.
I can't wait to listen to it. I had such a busy week at work that I didn't feel like I could give it justice. So
Even if you only have 20 minutes, just go right to the end. But I think...
No, but I want to listen to the first 10 minutes after I heard what Doug said about it.
It was pretty... It happened pretty abruptly. But it was even my wife was laughing on a few... She didn't listen to the whole thing, but... Yeah, it was... It's something he probably doesn't want to ever think about again, but it was funny nonetheless. And funny is part of our show. See? It's all about pride. Pride in what you do best.
Drink.
Yeah. So, last bit of information I had here before we get to the final tasting was Canadian whiskeys. Apparently, they're usually lighter and smoother than other whiskey styles. Another common characteristic in many Canadian whiskeys is their rye that has been malted, which provides a fuller flavor and smoothness. This almost sounds as if it was written by somebody who makes Canadian whiskey.
It kind of does. Did you get this from Wikipedia?
This part, yeah, I got this. You know, yeah, I got this part from Wiki. But they didn't link to any specific whiskey, so it's like, why would you go and do that? Maybe? I don't know. So by Canadian law, Canadian whiskeys must be produced in Canada. Again, everybody's got their little law. They have to be distilled from a fermented mash of cereal grains, and it can be aged in small wood for no less than 3 years. Dave's familiar with small wood. And possess an aroma, taste, and character generally attributed to Canadian.
Nicely snuck in.
Yes, I know. I made sure not to give you any extra time. And this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. Possess the aroma, taste, and character generally attributed to Canadian whiskey. Can you imagine a law that says it has to taste like all the other ones? You know?
No.
That doesn't make any sense to me. Yeah. I think that's too limiting.
Hey,
yeah.
Don't be fucking with my people here.
I know. Oh, that's true.
Are you Canadian?
No, not really.
Yeah, you are. You're big
I'm
and you're
descended
white.
From them, but I'm not.
You're descended,
really?
Descended
from them.
Yeah.
It makes it sound like he's genetically modified.
Wow. Right. He's, that's awesome.
Yeah. I guess it's better than saying you descended from a country that tried to kill off every Jewish person on Earth. But
ooh, I'm from there too.
See, that's true. You do. You get the EI thing going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, that was the past. This is the now. American blended whiskeys combine straight whiskey with unaged whiskey, grain neutral spirits, flavorings, and colorings. I don't know why you would ever want to put colorings in a whiskey, because the only way you should color it is from the barrel.
Probably to pretty it up so that somebody like me would be like, ooh, I want to try that.
Right. Well, think about it. If you have the cheap whiskey, huh?
I totally would do the same thing. Like if it looked all caramel colory, I'd be like, ooh, I bet that's a good one.
Right. But you see, I think the trick is if it's under $10...
it's not a good one.
Right. And it's really dark. You're like, wow, that looks so aged. It's got like a half a year on it. And you're like, oh, this is awesome. And then you buy it. You're like, I don't understand.
It's so dark.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Maybe they just use some red 40 or some shit. I don't even know what that makes any sense. I just love that. I love the red 40.
Yeah.
M&M's. I had that going for you. So you guys don't mix your whiskey with anything, huh?
Dr. Pepper.
Have you ever had a mint julep?
Which is something of
actually,
a failed
I made a mint julep.
But...
You did?
I did.
Made a mint julep. Come on.
I did.
Right now?
Because I figured I could use the ingredients for mojitos tomorrow.
You can.
Let's think for a minute that our audience like might not know what that is, and we should say what that mix is.
Look, it's a mojito, but with bourbon.
And no lime.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
And no soda water.
Four mints of sprig. You muddle them up like you normally would. You throw in your sugar, simple syrup, whatever. You start muddling away. You put all that in a Collins glass. You put all your other ingredients in there. Teaspoon, 2 teaspoons of water, some whatever. And then you just fill the thing with ice and bourbon. Pour it right on top. You got yourself mint sprig.
I am so impressed with your off the top of the head knowledge of mixed drinking.
Well, it's right in the notes. Well, but I put it there because Dave said before the show, he's like, what would you put bourbon? I'm like, oh, a mint julep. If you know how to make a mojito, you can make a mint julep. You just sub out the rum with, I'd like to say, bourbon.
And you know what? I can make me a mojito.
See? And you just muddle that sucker up.
It doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound like a 6'4" guy should be making up a mint julep.
No, it does feel a little weird. I agree.
But
oh, I made a mint julep with my.
You like mint julep?
Awesome, Dave.
Funny hat for the Kentucky Derby too. So
see, that's the thing. It's like it does sound pretty. I dare I say homosexual, but it's just it's good. I made. What I did is I recorded 10 cocktail shows last week, which was a fucking nightmare to do.
Oh,
and
God.
One of them was, and they're all mixing together, but have you ever had Dubonnet? It's an aperitif red wine, like a sweet red wine.
Oh,
it's,
no, I
haven't. Well, that I made, it's, I think it's called like a Dubonnet mint julep. Go figure. And it has, I used the Buffalo Trace. I used the mints and all that stuff. But there's also like 2 ounces of this sweet red wine. So it gives you this even greater dynamic. And I don't know if you can if you could do that with a mojito with something, but you're getting a dry, sweet, kind of cool flavoring to the mint julep. And it's awesome. I liked it. And I think the mint and the bourbon still work together, but I still, when I drink it, I think mojito because it's got that sweet mint aftertaste to it that makes me think mojito, probably because I've had a lot more mojitos than I've had mint juleps. And personally, mojito sounds a little more manly. Not much.
I was just going to say, it sounds so much more manly.
Because it's foreign. It's got the name. If you call this mint julep, right, you'd be like, oh, that's awesome. But no.
That's awesome.
It's mint julep. Right?
You have to say it exactly like that, too.
I'm going to start working my Derek impression.
I think you should. That's good.
And the next time I'm on a show, the whole time I'm going to talk like Derek.
That's going to be tough because I don't even know how I do that.
I know,
and I have
I
to
either.
Listen to myself a lot.
Yeah.
So the funny thing is you're saying that you like the mint julep. I think it's fucking revolting.
Really?
Yeah, it's terrible.
Dave never went to mince words.
I love how he waits until I'm done to tell me how much I'm wrong. Well, not necessarily wrong, but my taste is not like his. What's wrong with it?
Well, it's just... All right, so I dig mojitos, you know, and I realize mojitos have a lime component where this doesn't. But it tastes to me like a mojito where you used rum that was just not quite right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like bourbon.
Yeah.
What type of bourbon are you using in here?
The Maker's Mark.
The Maker's Mark.
That's very good bourbon, isn't it?
Maybe that's
isn't
the problem.
Isn't that higher end?
I guess. I don't know.
Everybody uses.
So I was kind of sucked in by the whole marketing aspect of the Maker's Mark.
Tell me what. Okay, so you don't. This is why I don't think you like the mint julep. You want to hear why?
Because
you.
I think I have no choice.
Okay, good. Because you like rum.
Yes.
And you're not yet a fan of bourbon. Because this drink, if you think about the mojito and the mint julep, they are primarily core ingredient is going to be those dominant rums and the dominant bourbon. And both those drinks, that stuff comes out. If you can hide it that well, then there'll be no point in making it. What you want is you're trying to bring a new dynamic to the rum and a new dynamic to the bourbon. But if you're yet not a huge bourbon fan, it's probably not going to taste as good as the thing you already like.
Ah, but I think there's a hole in your theory.
Remember
when we did the mojito episode and we did the four-shot mojitos and we still couldn't really taste the rum?
Yeah, but you got to be able to taste the rum. I think
rum is also much more conducive to mixing than bourbon is.
I think it's a much more neutral.
But it's not neutral.
Or it's just a better mixer than bourbon. I wouldn't mix bourbon with anything, but that's just me.
Well, maybe you would mix some mixing.
I've done bourbon. It before, so I figured I'd try it. You
could also be that Maker's Mark.
I think it was a great idea for you, Dave, since you don't particularly, you don't like bourbon. But so it's kind of like, I'm going to mix it and then it won't taste as bad. But it's such a distinctive and strong taste that it's still going to taste bad if you don't like it.
I think maybe you need to have the stuff you have over there, that lighter one, like something that's going to be weaker. Yeah, the Bushmills. I think maybe if you had something weaker and less dominant, then you wouldn't have it cutting through the mint and the sugar as much. But
the
it's still going
would,
to.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. It's a very light, spicy kind of whiskey, and as opposed to like the stronger flavored whiskeys. So if you had something like that, it would probably be better.
There's still the chance that you just don't like bourbon in a drink. If you don't like something, adding it to something else to try and mask it at some point gets retarded because you're just going to have, it's like, 16 mint sprigs, 5 pounds of sugar, and 8 gallons of water. I don't taste a thing. Just dump them all in there. The whole thing. Just take a whole plant, soil, all of it, throw it in. Right? Yeah, I don't taste the whiskey. Oh, this is good. No, it's not whiskey anymore. You lost the essence.
You know what? I applaud you for trying to drink the whiskey, but some people just don't like it. Actually, I should say a lot of people just don't like it.
I know.
I'm finding that drinking it straight is better than the mint julep.
Really?
Yes. No doubt about it. Okay. Kind of like when I put it with the Mountain Dew, made it ruined the bourbon completely.
The funny thing about it for me is it smells fantastic.
Yeah.
Like this one, I mean, it's got a really like strong like vanilla tone to it.
Yep.
A little bit of wood thing going on in the background, but the vanilla is very pronounced, and it's really just a nice smell. It doesn't really taste like that to me. Like, I don't really get any vanilla flavors out of it so much, but it's relatively smooth. I would much prefer this over a scotch.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, I totally agree. And I don't think I've ever smelled a whiskey that didn't smell like vanilla, but you're right. Sometimes you can't taste it. And, you bring it up to your nose, and you're like, ooh, this is going to be good. And then you take a sip of it, and you don't taste what you just smelled. It's
right,
odd.
And that's a little confusing for me, I think.
The other
thing about it that's pretty cool is it does have a burn to it, but the burn is very, very quick, and it doesn't have a lingering aftertaste to it.
Yeah, see, that's what I like about it.
Which are you drinking again?
Maker's Mark.
Maker's Mark, that's right, yeah.
So, yeah, I think they're all going to have some. It depends on the classification of a burn, too, right? There's like, does it make your tongue numb for a few seconds? Yes. But for me, I find the ones not revolting, but not as good when the burn is such that your eyes are almost watering and you do make a funny face and then you shake your head and you're like, oh, yeah, all right, that was awesome, right?
That's not even happening to me, you sissy.
You go, boy. I'm so proud of Luke tonight. I am so proud of him.
You know what? Okay, there's something definitely wrong.
Didn't you want us to do like frozen Jello shots once? And you are loving your Jameson.
See? I don't remember wanting to do Jello shots. Actually,
remember the mixed drink? Oh, maybe I'm wrong.
No, you might probably be right.
I kind of think you are. I remember something about Jello shots, but I know that it wasn't me because I've never had one.
Okay,
I don't.
Dave, you remember that it was like the mixed drink episode because you have a great memory. The mixed drink episode and Luke had like all these crazy like effeminate drinks that he wanted us to make.
Oh,
I could have sworn Jello shots were in there, but I mean, I could be misremembering as well.
What year?
I'm still pretty sure it wasn't me, because I've never had one.
It probably wasn't then.
No, he was. No, Luke was definitely the one who's all about the puckers and the sour apples.
It might have been one that, like,
it was the pucker episode. You
actually,
guys.
You know what was really funny is that after that pucker episode, I didn't even finish like the last drink that I had, and it took me really long time to finish off that bottle of watermelon pucker because. I don't know. I think, kind of like you said in the last episode, my palate's kind of maturing, and yeah. I'm not sure if I can really do that ultra-sweet stuff anymore.
It happens, I think, to everybody. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you're now post-pubescent. I think it's that you just change over time. Like, for instance, there's a lot of different foods that I would eat now that I wouldn't eat as a kid, and even though I've tried them as a kid and it wasn't just me being stubborn, I honestly didn't like them. For instance, fresh vegetables, never was a fan. But now I love fresh vegetables. Wheat bread, never. I hated wheat bread. Now I love it. I don't know why.
I'm the opposite. When I was a kid, I hated pizza and ice cream.
What?
Really?
Now I love it. But yeah, I wouldn't eat it. Yeah, no, I think that you're right, Luke. I think that you're, you know, evolving in your, you know, taste in drinks.
Ooh, I'm evolving. That's awesome.
You're
Was that appropriate? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was, because when I think everything's appropriate.
Nothing's inappropriate.
No. I feel that I've managed to pull off whiskey. I don't know if it was just I got over the bad experiences with whiskey, or I've tried different things now, or that I forced, like the way I learned red wine, I forced myself to drink it until I liked it, and then eventually I really appreciated it. Now, yeah. Some people are like, why would you work that hard? I don't know, because I wanted to be cool. I don't know. But now it's like it's a completely different thing, and even my red wine preferences change over time. But whiskey is actually, I could see myself sitting down with a glass of whiskey and drinking it. Like when I do the reviews, sometimes I would just toss the alcohols, and now I find myself finishing them. So yeah. that's like a huge step.
It's one of the cooler things about doing the podcast for me is the fact that I have tried things again that I probably wouldn't have otherwise.
Right. Yeah. And you're like, hey, this,
you know,
is
and some things I still don't like, and some things I do like, but you know, it's worth giving it a shot at least.
But with the Maker's Mark, you've got something you can bring over. You have something for guests too.
Yeah, that's. I believe that's a high end whiskey. I could be wrong.
It was about $29 for a 750.
Yeah, okay. Well,
but
higher.
It's very well known as a.
But it's got the cool end wax cover thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Badass.
Yeah. So it doesn't matter how much it costs. It looks. Kind of like when you're on the golf course. It doesn't matter how well you play as long as you look good.
Right.
Right.
And I really don't.
Nope. Nobody plays golf, do you?
No. So, you don't.
Play is that the thing with the windmills and the clown at the end?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's putt putt.
I got a hole in one doing a pool shot in mini golf. That's pretty awesome.
Nice. What? Did you win it?
My daughter did.
No.
That. Oh.
Sometimes I'll do the driving range once in a while, but I pretty much hurt myself every time I do it.
And so do I.
That's it, Dave. We're going golfing.
Oh.
So you can just completely own me?
I'll yes. teach you to love it. It's fun.
I don't understand why Kate likes golfing.
What? Why?
Stereotypically, that wouldn't make any sense.
But stereotypically, I shouldn't like bourbon, and I shouldn't be a computer programmer either.
Right. Or, which falls... Well, I don't know if you wouldn't like bourbon. I mean, there's party girls, right, that like everything. So, you know,
I'm
I would...
I'm not a party girl.
No, but that's, again, you're going totally against what should be happening. I don't know how that a programmer... I only know four women programmers, none of which are pleasant on the eye, if that's the appropriate way of saying it.
I think there's a lot of women golfers, though. I think you're wrong about that one. The other ones I'll give you, but I think a lot of women play golf.
The thing is, Kate, I'm not exactly what's a good way to put it? I'm a Yeti.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I'm not big on finesse, so if I can't hit the ball as hard as humanly possible,
right? Oh, which you don't want to do.
Not going to be good.
Okay. Well,
so if you want to go in, let's say you want to do either, let's say, punch walls and knock them down, or rock climbing, or surviving in the woods by eating bark. I think he's with you on that. But golfing, I can't see it.
I mean, I'm game to try it. I've never really done it. So aside from the windmills and the clown,
right? He's done a windmill and he's also done a clown.
Okay, really?
Yeah. Yes. Anyway.
Yeah, I got a thing for the big shoes. What can I tell you?
I don't know. You can tell me nothing more. It would be awesome.
That's plenty.
Oh, nice. So, Dave, so why don't you... So, do you feel that you've justified your experience with the Maker's Mark? Are you satisfied? Is this something you'd do again?
I don't know if I could sit here and sip this stuff, to be honest. Oh, really? I just
want to interject one thing while I'm still thinking about it and while you just said sip it. I think that I like it in the summertime just because it's my drink, but I think it's really a great wintertime drink to sip.
I would agree with that because it's definitely got the warming thing going on and all that.
Right. And at that point, that's when the bourbon or whatever it is comes out of the freezer, and I just would sip it at room temperature.
But yeah, like this in a fireplace or something, that just like seems...
Exactly. Your scotch, your brandy, that kind of thing. You know, it's kind of a cold weather.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's my little thing.
I tend to just drink all the time. Like, don't care what time, what weather
well,
it is.
I drink it all year long, too, but I tend to drink it more in the wintertime.
I honestly don't know if I drink it at all, except for I'm always reviewing it. So I always get some reason. There's always a reason, and I can't stop reviewing because it's summer. But I would I would rather... honestly go if I did a bourbon, I would rather do it maybe a mint julep or something cold because of that whole... I like cold drinks, like a mojito. I like frozen daiquiris, you know, crazy
margarita.
Alcoholic margaritas, obviously. Yeah, I'd pound those. I had like 20 of those things, no problem. But it's just like there's certain things I don't like. Like, even I would rather have white wine than in red wine in the summertime. Mm-hmm. Although I typically just have one in one hand and one in the other. But like last night, oh my God, I was so bad. Like, I had 5 glasses of white wine, 2 glasses of red wine, 1 beer, a shot of gin, and some cognac.
All for...
In about 2 hours.
You know, your videos?
No, this was for real.
Oh.
No, I went to a parents' house.
This was a donkey video.
Yeah. Ah, yes.
Oh, no.
You need that much before you're going to, you know... take it from a donkey. No, I think it was a little party. Let's kind of get a little party at my parents' house. See, we're German. We do a lot of drinking. So whenever there's a party, you just got to be prepared. And like I was leaving, they were still opening another bottle of red. So I don't know. So the Maker's Mark is not something you drink during this time of year or maybe ever.
Right. But, you know, it's weird. It's throwing me off because this stuff smells fantastic. It really does.
We need to figure out how to
sit here and smell it. It's weird.
But you don't want to actually taste it.
Well, no, I mean, I've been working on it, but I don't know. I guess I'm confused by the whole smell versus taste thing in this case, because it smells like it's going to be something really almost sweet, you know, and it has a hint of that to it, but...
Just because I have had, just because I'm a bourbon whiskey person, it tastes sweet to me, and I see how people don't get that because the alcohol content kind of overpowers it a little bit.
Right.
So basically when you're bringing it up to your mouth, you're smelling the sweet flavor, but you don't necessarily smell the high alcohol.
No.
I mean, it's not any higher than any other drink, but it zings you when you take a sip of it. But for me, because I've been drinking it for a few years, I taste the sweetness, but most people just taste that alcohol and they're like, ooh, I don't want to do that again. You know?
Yeah, you got to train yourself, I think, for some of the drinks. And actually...
It may just be that I don't drink a lot of hard alcohol straight, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And
it's, you know, it's different. People have different, you know, if you don't like it, you don't like it. What can you do?
It's like my buddy Rob there. He won't drink. He doesn't... You make a mixed drink, he just wants all the parts in separate glasses. It's weird. You're like, what?
That's weird.
It's kind of funny.
He does not like...
Alphabetically.
Yeah.
He'll drink a margarita, though, won't he?
He'll drink a margarita, but he would rather have tequila straight. Well, not necessarily tequila, because he's not huge on tequila. He likes margaritas, but if you make...
So basically, he's a purist.
Yeah. If you make a rum-based drink, he's like, well, like a zombie. I'm like, I'll make you a zombie. It's got like 5 different rums. Why don't you just give me the rum? What do we need all the other stuff for? I'm like, because it's a cocktail, dude. You can't make what it's just rum. You know, I don't know what to do. I'm like, what do you mean? I want to make you this awesome cocktail that you take all these ingredients, put them together, and it makes something beautiful. And you want me to tear it apart and just hand you the pieces? That's like saying, here's this awesome Lego Star Wars spaceship, but here's just a bag of Legos.
You know, I would say it's because he's an engineer, but I know you're an engineer too, so that logic doesn't fly.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I would take the bag of Legos too, but not the drink.
And then you just melt them.
Legos are fucking awesome.
See?
I don't know. Legos or alcohol, I'll take the drink.
Yeah. I'll take some drinks and then some Legos and make something.
Yeah,
so I guess I guess my point is I can definitely see the appeal of this. You know, it's interesting, but I think I would have to, I guess, as you said, train myself to get used to the heavy alcohol content, you know?
And the other thing you can do, and I don't know if you've tried this, but if you take, and I've done this after I don't know how many freaking tastings I've had to do in the last month with alcohol, but if you just drink one sip and you're like, "Woo, that was potent." Then you do it again, you're like, "Ah, it's still kind of potent." By the fourth one, like the fourth sip, your palate starts to get a little desensitized to that alcohol, and then you start to taste a lot of the other nuances. But
that's
right
true.
Away, you don't.
You're exactly right. And if it's an alcohol that you enjoy, when you take that first sip, you say, "Ooh, that's potent," and "Oh, that tastes really good." You
because
know,
you,
so
can
it's
you know
just a matter of
your
yeah.
brain's ready.
And the other thing, I think, I don't know about you guys, but do you find that you gravitate towards the alcohols that your father or your parents drank?
Is this an Oedipus thing?
I don't, no, not at all. But like, it's what was in the house, what you smelled, what was around. Like, your dad drank a lot of beer, didn't
yeah.
he, Derek?
Yeah.
I don't know what your mom did. Does your mom drink at all?
My mother drinks like Chardonnay with ice cubes in it.
Oh, okay. Forget it then. I don't know. Sometimes I think that people will like kind of gravitate towards whatever their parents kind of had in the house.
But. We had beer. Apparently, from what I understand, I've been confirmed from my mother, because my parents are divorced, from my mother and my father separately, is that my father used to be into wine. And that was his big thing. And then all of a sudden, he just didn't like it anymore. It just, his palate changed, and he's like, "I don't like wine." He started drinking beer. And then it's probably been 30 plus years, and he's only into beer now. But before that, he was into wine, which is weird, because I've never seen him take a sip of wine. And I did find out last week, first time, that he loves margaritas. I don't know. I never knew that. It was just completely out of the blue. He's like, "Oh, I'll have one." I'm like, "What? That's not a beer?" It was weird.
That's not a bad thing. Yeah.
So, but whatever. And no, I would, for me, it would be beer.
You're a beer guy, aren't you, Derek? More than
I honestly.
Or have you changed a bit?
Since doing the cocktail show, I've had very little beer. It's all been hard alcohol. Most of it's straight. And I don't know why. I like beer. I like beer more in the summertime than in the wintertime. I like red wine a little more in the wintertime than the summertime. And I've had a lot of time to drink some, appreciate red wine. I've had red wine like last night, but it was after like three glasses of white wine that I only drank because my brother opened the wrong bottle. And I mean,
that was so good of you. Finish it off.
I was just trying to, I was trying to get it out so we could put more in the refrigerator. But I like beer. I just found lately that there's so many more varieties in alcohol and hard alcohol, like the whiskeys. Like, for instance, I've discovered like three or four different really unique flavors in rum. There's, you've got your spice rums, you've got your a good distilled like light rum. Then there's the darker rums, and then within the darker rum, you can get all these other rums from different islands that taste completely different. Some are, you know, sugarcane based, natural. Agriculture, and then you get ones that are the molasses based, and then you just move on to tequilas. I go through those, and I get some Tuaca, warm that up, maybe a little bourbon, maybe some cognac. There's just so much that beer tends to be very much classified in like five things.
Yeah,
and that you really would get. And with beer, I have to buy them in sixes, and I really just wanted one. I don't want six, and I don't want the same thing five more times.
Basically, for me, beer is after you mow the lawn or when you're watching football on Sunday afternoon. That's about it for me. Or if you're at a barbecue or something like that.
I think I just kind of switched a little. I'll probably go back. I'll move around a little bit in the alcohol realm. Right now, I've just been so like stuck in the weeds with so many different liquors to review. And I want to get them out there and let everybody know. So it's just like I've been really delving into that, which is how I got here. So what I have, is everybody else done?
I'm done.
Yes.
All right. So the last ones that I have, I'm going full American. I've got the bourbon, the Buffalo Trace bourbon, and the First Inn whiskey, which is, I'm going to say, New Jersey based. The company's in Pennsylvania. Actually, anybody who listens to the podcast already knows all this because the last episode was an interview with Brave Spirits. Actually, was it? Yeah, it was Drunk Doug, and then it was the interview with Brave Spirits. So you got to go two back to get done. And before that was Riazul Tequila. And so I've already talked with these guys, so I already know a bunch about their different brands, and this is the one that donates $2 to the men and women in the armed forces every time you buy a bottle. And the other thing is it's full American. So if you like to stay with your own country, you know, keep it in the family type of thing, then this is a good brand. It's a little lighter. Not necessarily water-based light, but it's definitely more approachable. Could be a mixer, no problem. I don't see a problem with that. It's got some flavors. They're a little muted. The thing I noticed the biggest difference in this blend is that there's not a predominant oak, which some people don't like the huge creamy vanilla oakness. This gives you an appreciation for, okay, it's definitely barreled, but it's got different flavors into it where they don't drive for any one targeted flavor. I can sip it, and I don't know if this might be something Kate wouldn't necessarily appreciate just because there's zero burn. Like, my tongue's not even numb. And this is...
Jameson didn't have much burn, did you think, Luke?
Not a whole lot, no. Certainly not a lot in the aftertaste, just kind of the immediate punch of it.
But this is... I already finished the glass. It's that easy, right? There's... Because it doesn't have... It has a lot of flavor, but it doesn't have that potency. You can go back for a second one. This might be something more down Dave's alley. And it's the same color as the other ones. It's not light, like super light, like Coors or Pea Water. It's definitely got all the properties. It seems like they went with they blended this to be very approachable, I think, from a wider range of people, where they're not saying, oh, diehard whiskey drinkers want this, mixing drinkers want this. No, I think it fits everything. The Buffalo Trace, though. Oh, and the aromas were okay. They didn't stand out as much. I think what you guys probably have are probably, especially with the Maker's Mark, really jumps out and says, hey, this is the sweetness, this is the woods, these are the different properties. The first in didn't really have too much of that. You knew it was whiskey, but it wasn't in your face. The Buffalo Trace, it's like a little punch right in the face. Just a little one, though.
You're definitely right. Alcohol beats you up a lot.
Yes. if it's not beating you up, it's not doing it right. And it's got a nice sweet coconut meets vanilla ice cream, maybe. There's a vanilla ice cream. And it is not dirty and foggy, so that's good. Let me see. It's a lot stronger than the first in. Like, there's flames, but they go away pretty quick. So this might be something like you guys would like, because it does have that kick. Like Luke said, it lasts about 3 seconds, then it dissipates the burn, and you're left with a little, it's kind of like an oak meets a little oaky, creamy vanilla flavor, which is your classic, I think, bourbon-esque style flavors. And it's sweet. It's got a nice, and even the finish is sweet. Like, you can still get a little sweetness on the tongue, so you're not... It's well-balanced, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Very well-balanced. It fits everything. It's got the kick. I think it's got a little of everything that you'd want. And out of all of them, I still think I'm a big fan of the Buffalo Trace the best. It's got a good mouthfeel. It kind of is the general... If I had to sum all these up with all their best properties, I would say that the Buffalo Trace probably has them all. But each one has other distinct things that make them their own. I just think for my palate, the Buffalo Trace is good. And if I was to make like a dry Manhattan... In case you're looking for another mixed drink, it's kind of mixed drink. You got an ounce of bourbon, ounce of dry vermouth, two dashes of Angostura bitters, and a maraschino cherry. Boom, you're done. I think that works. This would work good in there because for a dry Manhattan, it's going to be dry with the vermouth, and I like a little sweetness to try and balance that. And I think this has this maybe Maker's Mark, I guess, and then what you guys have, the Luke and Kate would probably be pretty good because you said it was a little sweeter, right?
Jameson?
Yeah.
It's definitely smooth. How about sweet? Did you think it was sweet?
I wouldn't say it was sweet.
No, not sweet. Mm-hmm. So the Buffalo Trace might be a little sweeter. Some people don't like that. Like, you guys might not like having a sweeterness. I like the sweet tasting stuff a little better. But the dry Manhattan, realistically, I think a dry Manhattan, because it's bourbon, dried vermouth, some bitters, and a maraschino cherry, you want to take your favorite bourbon or your favorite Canadian, and that's what you make it out of, because it's going to be that with a little difference.
That actually sounds good.
It's like a gin martini without gin.
Yeah.
So about the gin put into bourbon, and the maraschino cherry makes it look cooler. And maybe a little lemon twist if you got like a zester, twist out a lemon. Woo, throw that in there.
You have to make that noise too.
Obviously. If you don't make the noise,
the well reaction.
The
head to doll. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, good. Woo. I want to see him bounce his nipples. No, what do they call that? Bounce his pecs. That's what it is. It's not nipples. That would just be a little weird.
That would be.
If somebody could do that, I'd be impressed and a little scared.
Yeah.
You really want to see that?
No, I don't think I want to see that. Okay. Thank God.
Luke does.
Yeah, Luke's all.
Hey,
sorry. No, I'm sorry. No, you don't.
Only if it's dull.
Jeez.
I know. You don't want to see that while you're drinking your fucker.
Oh.
Ding.
You know, I thought we had something special with this.
I know,
whiskey,
we did. Okay, no, we did.
We did.
You know, he went away. Down, and then she kicked him again.
I did. I kicked.
Did,
and I'm sorry.
Past tense. Oh, my God.
Luke, no, we do. We do. Jameson. Let's get back
Luke's,
to Jameson.
Luke's rocking in the floor with, like, four bruises in his back, going, no, Kate, she's got a little tank top.
His tone of voice, honestly, it's hurt. My heart is aching right now. I want to take back my words.
That's funny. Oh, she hit me. Oh, she's got a little tank top. But you survived, and it will make you stronger, Luke.
Yeah, you're better.
Yeah, we'll see if I wake up in the morning.
Yeah, see?
Kate, wouldn't you feel bad if I didn't?
I would feel. I'm going to look for your tweets. You better tweet first thing.
Yeah.
I'm alive.
And if you don't, you should have somebody in your family tweet so we know where to send the flowers.
I feel so lame because I don't tweet.
See, yeah, you're the only one.
On there. God, you are lame.
Of the four of us, yeah.
Why do people, like, not appreciate the tweets? I don't get it.
I think it's because of, people, like, one of the people that I'm following who the only tweet that she ever makes is, like, depressing stuff. Like, one of them was, nothing said tonight can undo the damage or something like that. I'm like, really? You're going to do that? Really? On Twitter?
Being an emo bitch.
I wanted to, but... That's right. Yeah, I should unfollow, but I don't know. I must be a glutton for punishment or something.
See,
sometimes it's nice to see people that are unhappier than you.
That's true.
I also work with her, so it's kind of tough.
Oh. Yeah.
Then you're like, you don't want to go to work because you're like, she could kill herself and I'll find her in the bathroom.
Yeah, actually, keep following her because you're going to know like when to avoid her and
right.
when not to.
It's like, yeah. I'm going into work with a gun. Okay, well, that's not going to happen.
Which is always a good idea. Okay, drink responsibly, respect the laws, don't take guns to your place of work, things like that.
Exactly.
That's our basic advice.
Oh, Kate, why can't I figure out where you are on Twitter? Aren't you Katie Kate?
Yeah. No, I'm Kate Boo.
Oh.
Don't, okay. You know what? I didn't even know. When I signed up for Twitter, I didn't even know like that would be. I guess I can change it. But
yeah, you can.
Yeah, I might change
I
it.
I think you
anyway.
Have to get a whole different account, don't you?
Really?
Why? No, you don't have to. You could just rename. I did it. I used to be Tech Diversions, and I changed to Everyday Drinker.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, you were Tech Diversions first?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Did, how can, you know what else bothers me is people who protect their tweets.
Oh, I protect mine.
I stopped.
Oh, son of a, should I stop?
Yeah, but nobody can see them. You only have 46 followers. You know how, like, many more people you'd have?
Yeah, but I don't know who they are.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, you see,
you know how many requests I get that I deny?
Why?
Yeah, you see, the thing about that is that, you know, I get like so many emails every week or something like that. Oh, so and so is following you. And then I go through my followers and I delete pretty much all of them because they're all just spam stuff. It's like,
you don't have to follow them.
Luke, you and I were back in, you know, yeah, you and me. Because when what I do is nobody can follow me unless I tell them they can. So I get the email. It says, this person wants to follow you. And I look at them and I think, no, I don't think so. And then I just
wait.
Yeah.
Who cares who's following you? It's only who you follow back. Like, look it. I have 737 followers, but I only have 414 following back.
Well, you have a lot of followers because you're a celebrity. I'm just Kate Boo. I'm just like I'm like nobody.
No, but look, check it out. Okay,
46, that's pretty good for a nobody.
If you, no? Yeah, but yeah, so let's say you say something interesting, right? And then all of a sudden you get
and that's the thing, and that's why I should not protect my tweets because I don't really say anything earth shattering that I have to be protected.
See, you're just.
I know. I just talked myself out of protecting my tweets.
I know. Well, the thing is, like, I'm always wondering if I respond. To people who have protected tweets, people are gonna be like, who the hell are you talking to? Like, they can't follow the conversation, like, even if they found
it
interesting.
Work like that, Derek.
They can see your
the only replies, like, if you reply to, like, you know, wine girl, whatever, if she's not my friend, I don't see that reply.
No, I know, but
oh,
if I'm looking, sometimes I'll look at other people's, like, for instance, if I'm following somebody and they're following you, but I'm not, I will see them talking to you.
Yeah.
But what I'll usually do is go, oh, that's interesting. Then I'll go and I'll click on, like, what they replied to, and it's protected. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I can't see the other part of the conversation.
I'm going to unprotect. I'll do it right now.
Don't do it. It's a trap.
It's a trap.
Stop.
And then, but the thing is, when I get spammers who follow me, I'm like, thank you. Follow me. I don't fucking care. It doesn't bother me.
I have, like, I'd have, what do I have now, 46? I'd have like 56.
Within the next hour at least.
I get I get tons of spam and I just don't.
Yeah, but you don't have to look at the spam. Like, you don't have to like follow people. This is how it works.
You don't necessarily want to be followed by spam.
Who cares? They're not really people.
I care.
They don't see you. They're automated. Here's the deal. Here's how it works. If somebody follows me, unless it's obviously somebody that is following me because, let's say, it's a brand, because a lot of the people who follow me are brands, then I follow them back.
What followers do you have? You have a ton of followers.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah, but not even half of them are legitimate people.
No, all of them, because I used to do
is spammers.
No, I used to take the spammers get every week. I think they harvest them out, so you'll see
your
followers
737 followers, dude.
I know.
God.
Well,
if this was Facebook, you'd be getting ready for your own URL soon.
I have my own URL.
Whatever it is. What's the thing on Facebook that you're looking
Celebrity?
For 1,000?
Oh, no, you don't need 1,000, you need 100. They changed it.
I'm a fan.
I'm facebook.com/cocktailTV.
There you go.
See? I don't think I'm following you.
What? No, you are.
I'm good. Am I?
Yeah, huh? I don't know, maybe.
I'm not. I'll double check.
I'm too antisocial to do this shit.
Did you say
are,
cocktail TV
you know what,
or
Dave, that's why Twitter, that, oh, sorry, the plug.
What? What plug?
Luke just asked you what to follow on Facebook.
Facebook.com/cocktailTV. You're not on there? He's diving in.
Luke. But to Dave's point, Dave, that's why Twitter is so awesome, because I'm pretty antisocial as well, but Twitter is so low maintenance. You know? I mean, you can all, you're trapped to how many letters is it?
Too few. Oh, yeah. 140.
141, right?
140, so yeah.
140. I mean, how much can you say?
Well, if you do enough acronyms, you could say a lot.
It's very low pressure. It's very low pressure, Dave.
Yeah, I don't like the thing is, it depends on what you're doing. Like, for me, it helps because most of these brands that have sent me stuff, I've gotten through Twitter.
Yeah.
So, like, if, for instance, in this, for anybody listening who wants to get free shit, this is what you do. You're like, you set up a website, go to Blogspot, set up a little website, do a couple reviews of some alcohol. Then you set up an account and you're like, let's say I want this Brave Spirits. I could either look for Brave Spirits or just type, I like Brave Spirits, whatever. And then you're going to get a follow request from them within a few days because they're watching. They have alerts set up. So anytime their brands are used, they come to you. And then you just follow them and you could send a message to them.
And
say,
make sure you pound it. Make sure you do pound or whatever
you
it is. Because they're probably searching for that, right?
No, they find their name anyway. There's systems that'll automatically alert them if you just use their name. And then you just send them a private message or a direct message. Be like, hey, do you send out samples to review? And then boom, they get, oh, what's your address? Boom, done. You get free alcohol. It's pretty easy. So it works for everything. For instance, another good one. I had a problem with TiVo, so I was bitching about it. And I said, oh, you know, TiVo and Netflix is pissing me off, blah, blah, blah. Boom, instantly get a follow request from TiVo. What can I help you with? Like, okay. And they fix the problem. I'm like, all right, fine. It's weird.
The other thing is, if you have any kind of an RSS reader, you can set it up on Twitter. Almost everything from my RSS has a Twitter account. So I set it up on Twitter and it comes into me automatically, just like an RSS feed.
Yeah,
it'll link me to whatever article, like, for example, Drudge Report or Hire or whatever, whatever, you know, you have on your RSS feed, and it'll come through Twitter.
See?
And most companies don't block it. Even my Alcatraz doesn't block it. Oh, you know what? It blocks Twitter.com, but it doesn't block Twirl. So
right.
It's like having an instant messenger.
See, it's perfect. You got to get in there, Dave. You can sign
Dave,
up right now.
Get on there.
It's twitter.com.
Dave's already got his instant messenger thing going on.
Fuck that. Now that we gave Luke some
keep it under consideration.
You got to do it.
Yeah, you've been keeping it under consideration for like 6 months.
Yeah,
I'm a lazy bastard. You know that. Come on.
I do.
Everybody knows. It's no.
That's
he does not hide.
Agree with it so quickly.
Oh, sorry. No, you're not.
In general, I think what we could take away is that whiskey, unless you're Dave, it's not really that bad. Like, there's a lot of good things. Here's the deal: you really got to try a bunch of them. And like we've said, I think we said in the Scotch episode, I'm going to say it again: get yourself some nips. You know, you want to buy the small versions to see what you're going to like. If you go to the restaurant, or you go to a bar and it's somebody you know, and I think this is a good key, and this is, I think, what brought Luke into this realm, is if somebody you know is a whiskey drinker, don't just be like, oh, that stuff's disgusting. Just try something. Just be like an everyday drinker. Just try something new. It's like food. You might not like it. Oh, well, so you're out a couple bucks. It's better than being out of $50 for buying an overpriced bottle of bourbon. So that's what I think. It's all about keeping an open mind. So everybody else, everybody thinks, did you guys cover everything? You're pretty happy with what we got here?
Definitely.
I'm all out of drinks. And this is Derek for Dave, Kate, and our podcast producer, Luke Lightall. You've just been buzzed by Everyday Drinkers. You can find us at everydaydrinkers.com. Check us out. And check out everydaydrinkers.tv. That'd be awesome. And now that Kate Boo doesn't have her tweets private, you can just follow her up.
Hey, Luke, you want to plug your new doll fan site?
Yeah, what's it going to be called?
Oh, I got to set it up first. Come on now.
All about doll.com.
I'm going to break. Oh, okay. I should.
You should.
What? No, this is it. Dolph Lundgren and dot me.
Oh, I don't know if I should do that because I hear that Bing does not do so well with dot me.
Fuck Bing users. This is like 2% of my traffic. You don't have to worry
about it. Oh, come on now.
Well, you wouldn't use Bing anyway. You're a Mac user.
No, I'd used it once.
Yeah, everybody used it once. That's how it works. Yeah. That's why they have a market share. Everybody used it once.
That's why they had one day of immense traffic.
Exactly. So think about that.
Spin it and call it a different name. And
Bong.
Yeah.
Dolph. Yeah, I think, dude, Dolph Lundgren and dot me. Dot com.
All about Dolph.com. No, not at all available. Or not at all there. So, I could start it.
You see?
I think I know how I'm going to make my millions.
Yep. And you know what? You could be like me. You know what? Do you guys ever hear of Michael Prachter? Or Michael Pachter?
He is not cool.
Industry, gaming industry analyst?
Yeah.
Sent me an email this week.
Really?
Yeah. He's like, hey, here's the article that, because I had quoted something from Joystick and pretty much told everybody why he's an asshat. And he sent me an email, me and Derek, and was like, hey, you guys want to read the article unedited by 1UP with all the quotes, and you can see if it still reads the same, or you still have the same opinion of it? I'm like, no fucking way. So I went, I did all the reverse, looked through the SMTP calls to see if where it came from, Wedbush Morgan. I'm like, what the fuck? And then, so Derek responded to him. He's like, oh, you know, thanks. Trying to do a little spin control. Like, we might have called you out a few times, but, you know, we still want to meet you and be your
friend.
You're
letting Derek do spin control? You're out of your fucking mind.
It's his podcast. I don't fucking care. If it was mine, it would be different. So, and then all of a sudden, he got a call from him. He's like, oh, yeah, you know, if you're ever in Boston, come on. We'd love to, like, go out for drinks or whatever. Like, this is fucked up, but okay. That's messed up. So yeah, and he comes running over to my cube. Dude, did you check your mail? I'm like, yeah, but it was just some spam. He's like, no. I looked at him like, oh my god, that's the analyst for Wedbush Morgan. Tell us how much we're assholes for dissing him. That's great.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. That was my excitement for the week.
Okay, so who's this guy?
Michael Prachter.
Michael Prachter. The Wedbush Morgan
analyst.
Doesn't mean anything to me. He's the guy that basically tells people he tells people why video games are going to do good or bad,
and he's almost always wrong.
Almost always.
Seriously, like, analyst must be the best job ever, because they go, oh yeah, this is gonna happen, and it doesn't, and then people are like, oh, okay, I believe you.
Who did we just lose?
We just Kate. Lost Kate.
Oh,
apparently your story offended her.
That happens sometimes. Let me see. Kate, dial in, add to conference. Let's see. Are you running Windows?
Hi, Kate.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
I bet you it's because you're running Windows. Windows hates people.
No, I'm on a Mac.
Oh.
Yeah.
What the hell? Wait, you have a Mac?
Oh, yeah. I'm cutting that right out of the episode.
I'm a Mac. I'm a Don't forget that.
Yeah, definitely cutting that one out. Otherwise, you're going to have all sorts of fan requests. Like, whoa.
That'd be awesome.
Oh, my God. I haven't even started drinking yet.
Oh, neither have I. I'm completely sober.
I managed to roll my office chair back over top of my right big toe, and it kind of hurts a little bit. Well, so I'm glad that I'm doing
before.
This episode.
You did very good with not squealing.
Quietly. Yeah.
Good job.
It was one of those things that I realized that was over my toe. It's like, wait a minute, this is not right. And then I took my toe out and I looked at it, and, you know, the nail is like got that crease mark halfway through there and it's kind of bleeding on the top. It's like, okay, bleeding. It's not really cool. And then it just kind of starts to build on the hurt as it goes.
You know what
it's
you
cool
can do?
It develops its own pulse.
I haven't gotten to that point yet. I don't know if it's because of the Jameson or just because it's not quite that bad.
Jameson.
Yeah, I've done that to my foot before and I thought I was retarded, but now I know.
Like, you are. But you know what it is? I think the whiskey actually dulls the electrons from the nerve endings from firing.
I'm hoping because I've kind of picked up the pace on the drinking a little bit.
All right, that's perfect. So okay, so let's let me just explain the bourbon and we'll get right to drinking at least something. They look the same.
I was just muted for like 5 minutes. I'm sorry.
Oh, were you?
Hello. Sorry.
Okay. That's never a good thing because nobody hears you. So you
go ahead.
Was there any cool wisecracks I missed?
No. Oh.
Did we get to miss out on any good? Like, what the fuck? Can you guys not hear me?
Towards the end, I was like, hello. Okay. Go ahead.
And we all in unison ignored you.
Yes.
I sent a message to everybody. Like, don't say anything. Maybe she'll think she's on mute. She'll be like clicking it.
It's blue.
I have drinked it or drank.
I think it's drank, but you might have be okay at this point.
How did you get interested in Dolph Lundgren? I've got to know.
Oh, so many questions. I've been dying.
This is the guy that was in Rocky.
I hope Luke's
going to
make it tonight.
Yes.
What? Yeah. How does it? I mean, Michael Jackson, I can understand, but this is like out of left field.
It's so weird. I mean, he's been in like two movies, right?
I don't know. Yeah.
Dolph Lundgren has been in so much more than two movies.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, my God.
He hunts them all down. He goes to IMDb. He clicks on the link and he just watches them all.
I own 19 of his movies, and that's like probably 2/3, I think. Maybe half.
Stop
so I'm looking
that.
At Wiki for him, and there's
in
a
America?
Pretty big list he's on.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Okay.
He's in a ton of movies. He's like the greatest action hero of all time.
What about Van Damme?
I remember he was in a Rocky movie, correct?
No. Yeah, was, Rocky IV. Drago, right?
Yep, okay. Ivan Drago.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Which he now has shirts to say, I must break you. And pretty much need
I know. He was He-Man.
No. Oh, that was an awful movie, right?
Was he He-Man?
Not the real He-Man. Not the cartoon, because that wouldn't make
no,
any sense.
No, the real
no.
movie one.
That was so long ago. He was probably He-Man.
How come Luke isn't piping up here?
Luke, why is it that he's in movies that nobody cares about? I guess that would be the real question.
You know, I was talking with a friend of mine earlier. He's all like, oh, has Dolph ever won an Oscar? I'm like, no, Dolph is too good to win Oscars.
It's not Chuck Norris.
It's like, well above Oscars.
He would just break
it's
them.
Like, you know, he would just win all the Oscars.
Why the fascination?
It just wouldn't be fair if he was eligible for an Oscar.
What makes him so good that he's so much better
than anybody
else?
Is this like you've taken the Chuck Norris thing to a new level?
You should make a website.
You should. You don't have one? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's now
okay,
he's silent.
I'm looking at IMDb right now. I think he's mad.
No, he's writing it down. He's like, yeah. Great idea.
You should totally go to like DolphLundgren.com or something like that. It's pretty awesome.
I can't even spell his name.
Dave, I'm going to verify that you are correct. He was He-Man in Masters of the Universe in 1987.
Nice.
According to IMDb.
So, but you still haven't answered the question, why? Like, why did you pick this specific action hero? Were you like, did he rescue
happened?
You from a fire or a burning building or some shit? He's thinking.
I think we're making Luke mad.
You know, no. Wait, what was the first movie that I saw him in?
Rocky IV.
That might have been it. Either that or Masters of the Universe.
Masters of the Universe.
A View to Kill. A View to a Kill. 1985.
You know, unfortunately, he had such a small role in that movie. He like turns around and points a gun. That's pretty much it.
Oh.
It's insulting, really. I saw that movie and I was like, ooh, I'm not really all that into James Bond, but I'll try because he's in it. And...
No. Nope.
But yes.
Does anyone else think it's weird that Luke's reaction was, ooh? I saw him and I was like, ooh.
Oh, there he is.
I'm supposed to see that.
That's true. You see, that's more
if
of a.
I could remember that first movie, then I'd.
That's I'd more have of a more Kate insight. Reaction.
Okay.
And I think Kate would probably go like more with like let's say I don't know Tom Cruise, right?
No, I never like he's so short. I don't really. I'm not a short.
Oh, I didn't know you were.
Oh gosh,
all
I
about
hope none of you guys are short.
I'm totally short.
I know you are, Derek.
See,
had to bring that up.
I'm just saying, like, well, Tom, how tall is Tom Cruise?
He's like 5'4".
Oh, I'm taller than Tom Cruise.
Yeah, he's pretty short.
He's really small.
I have to admit, I have a little more respect for him since he came out with the role that he was in what was it, Tropic Thunder?
Yeah.
He was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely awesome.
I thought that was good, too. You didn't even know what's
happening. Yeah, when you see that,
he's such a douche in real life, but in that role, he was perfect.
Yeah, no, I like
because he's a douche.
I just don't think he's particularly attractive. It's not my type physically, but...
Physically.
Dolph Lundgren definitely is, but
I
just never really noticed him that much.
But that's the difference is like Luke's not going to date him.
No.
Because that's just weird.
No.
No.
Anyway, you just want to be a BFF.
Yeah.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to
run
be anybody.
A fan site, that kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You need a fan site and just like take a picture of him with somebody else and just cut your face into one of them. You do graphic art.
Don't tempt me.
That would
he's
be awesome.
Guy. He's
yeah,
gonna
he's a graphics guy.
He's the best fan site ever.
A friend of mine, I taught her how to use Photoshop, and then all of a sudden she's in tons of photos with Bon Jovi. She's like, absolute favorite musician. I'm like, this is pretty awesome.
You guys are weird, like, heroes.
Yeah.
Bon Jovi.
I don't really have any heroes. I'll have to think about that a little harder. There must be somebody.
There must be.
Yeah, like Shigeru Miyamoto, maybe, or something like that. Like, I love Zelda. Does that count? Best game designer ever! Okay.
How about anyway. Nikola Tesla, since today is the...
You know what? Hey, here's a trick for you. If you saw that on Google, right?
Yeah.
Here's a trick for you. I learned this trick yesterday completely by accident. Okay, so somebody was searching on one of my sites, and I watch all the keywords that come in from Google so I could see what people are searching for. And whatever it was, I clicked on it, and it went out to... Google.au or whatever, right? Google.au.com, I think is what they go by. And I go out there because I wasn't found it in my search engine. So I looked out there and it says Tesla's birthday. I'm like, no fucking way. How come ours doesn't say that? And then this morning it did. And then it dawned on me. They are already in the next day. So if you want to know what Google's next event is, you just need to go to the other side of the world at the right time of day.
That's awesome. I'm going to bookmark that.
Wow, it's like time traveling.
Check it every morning.
Yeah, it's like time. And then what you do is you're like,
I'm going to tweet about it and everyone's going to think I'm super smart.
Yeah.
Wow, Google doesn't even show that yet.
Put money on
so
it.
So basically you should go to yahoo.au and, you know, type in some sort of a search like, did the world end today? And
that's
then you'll know it's coming.
But why would I use Yahoo? Because they got good financial results?
Wait, wasn't that what you said?
Google.
No, he said Google. I was wondering where Yahoo came from too, but
Yahoo
I
doesn't even exist. Come on.
He's had a lot of Jameson, and he's talking about Dolph, so that's the combination true. Is going to throw him.
He's thrown.
Because it's got this, like...
Are you, like, rubbing your microphone on your face? Or is it...
Very loud?
No, I just...
Really?
Yeah. Maybe it's not you, but you're the only one that's got the little volume thingy moving when you were doing it.
Is that any better?
Oh, it's your breath.
Yeah.
Just stop breathing.
Yes.
Yeah, for it's like maybe your nose is bigger than normal people's noses. I don't know.
Let me try moving the microphone away from my big ass nose.
Yeah, or maybe don't put it in your mouth as far, right in your throat.
I like. Okay.
Where are you? You still there?
Can you hear me?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
you're good.
Is that any better?
No, it's the same. What are you doing? Do you have a fan on?
Hang on. Yes, I have a ceiling fan on. Hold on.
That can't be it. Could it?
Oh, it's an oscillating fan?
It sounds like it's like a rhythm, though. It's like...
That would be oscillating.
Yeah.
It's not an oscillating fan. It's a ceiling fan. I've got a cathedral ceiling in my office here.
Yeah, it's weird. Maybe it's just you. Whatever.
Hang on. Turn it off. Hold on.
I don't see how that could make
it's
it...
It's very cool out. You don't need a fan.
Really? I am burning up here. I'm in the attic.
I have one window open, and I'm in a little tank top, but I'm freezing my ass off.
Wait, what are you wearing? I'm in a little tank top. Like, this has to be said.
Instantly, this becomes a
that was an awesome delivery,
broadcast.
Just for the record, Derek.
Like, here I am sweating my ass off, and she's like, I'm in a little tank top. Like, really?
Well, you probably don't have a window. Open a window.
Go on.
Temperatures like drop down to like.
I can't. I get an AC unit in here.
Oh, okay.
Because it's in the third floor, so
that's why you're hot. You're on the third floor.
I'm in the attic. I only had the AC on for a half hour before the show. It was bad.
Yeah, okay.
All right, can you guys hear whatever it was before?
You sound awesome, Dave.
Yeah.
Look, I always sound awesome. As awesome as I truly am, you see.
You know what? I bet you it is.
Can't be limited by your technology.
I know what it is, dude.
Another softball lob to Dave.
I bet you it will only happen when you talk, so I bet your mic picks up your voice, and then it brings in the wind that's coming down, you know?
But I turned off the fan. There's no...
Right, and it's gone. So it must only... I thought it was going to... If it was a fan, it would be happening all the time, but it must not be loud enough to turn the actual mic on, because you're...
Okay. Because you know? I was worried, because I have like five computers behind me too, so...
No, that's fine. Your computers are quiet. Five computers. Nice.
A lot of computers.
Yeah, it's a computer lab. Hey, side note, before I let Dave finish, the disregard the stuff about the Buffalo Trace looking like cloudy, I just found out that this glass is not clean. I don't know what's in it, but I questionable markings on the side made me wonder. And I put it in another glass, and it's clear again. So
that makes
my
sense.
Bad, my bad.
Whiskey usually isn't cloudy.
No, I was like, I don't remember this when I reviewed this, but that's different. Like, what is this white stuff? I think it might be I missed glass that maybe didn't make it in the dishwasher when I had done a cream drink for the podcast. I think it's like a cream based something on there.
Yeah,
like some sludge. Anyway, how's your all right, this is Derek for Dave, Kate, Dave again, and me. Man, I did not fix this at all.
Oh, you get two calls, though. Nice.
Yeah, I wrote it so that Doug could read it last time.
So you did it, what, phonetically?
Yeah, pretty much.
Four days. Pop-up, how do you do it?
And now it says date instead of Kate. Oh, man, I fucked everything up. This is Derek for Dave, Kate.
You get the gist of it.
Yeah, here we go.